So I'd like for you to pray for us. And tonight we want to read just a little bit from the book of Malachi. Turn to the third chapter and let's read from the first verse of the book of Malachi. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right. And fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from my ordinance and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. You know, every night we've come together to talk about the wonderful things of Jesus, and not one time has God failed to speak to us or to share his wonderful blessings with us. And tonight, already, I feel his wonderful presence ahead. I can tell that God is here tonight. I can tell his love is in our midst, and I can tell the wonderful Holy Ghost is here in this building. You know, it is so wonderful just to be able to feel him shower down over you the way I feel him shower down over me right now. I feel his wonderful presence just as if I had stepped underneath a shower and turned on the water, and the wonderful glory of God had just come down upon me. And so then it is such a wonderful privilege to be here tonight, feel his presence, to feel the glory of God, to know that the blessings of the Lord is among us, and to know that he is doing something very outstanding here in this tabernacle. Our crowd is not very large, but you know, Jesus doesn't have to have a large crowd. So often people use the terms two or three. A lot of times people that really carried the gospel had to use the terms two or three because they didn't have too many more than that. You know, because everybody doesn't love the light. And we've been privileged to have good crowds at many times in our lives in preaching the gospel. We've seen times when we didn't have too good a crowd. I do remember just one time in my life, and this is the only time, just one time where we didn't have anybody. I went to church when I hadn't been started my ministry long. I went off to the state of Nebraska to pastor a church, and there I went to church, and that night it was raining and it was bad, and I had the little church to pastor, and when I got there, there wasn't anybody but me, and I was so disappointed, and I was so tore up. And I sat down and there was nobody but me. I've never had that experience but one time in my life. And I thought that was the most horrible experience I ever had in my life. And I sat down and I began to pine and I began to mope, you know, like people do. And I began to lick my wounds. And I thought, now, Lord, here I am. I'm working in the hay fields of Nebraska and I'm pastoring a little church and trying to do all I know. And I'm fasting and praying. And I come to church and here I have nobody but me. My wife didn't even go to church that night. I thought, man, this is horrible, you know. And the longer I sat there, the worse I felt. And then after a while, when I felt like I just got to feeling so bad I couldn't feel any worse, all of a sudden something struck me. And I heard something say, it said, do you know that you're the only one here tonight? I thought, well, of course I know I'm the only one here tonight. How could I help but know it? And something said, isn't that wonderful? I thought, well, what's wonderful about that? And something said, to think that nobody in this whole town cared enough about God to come to God's house tonight but you. And I tell you, I all but shouted. When that hit me, I all but shouted. I began to praise God, and I thought, hallelujah, to think that it's on record in heaven that I'm the only one that night that went to God's house on that bad rainy night to praise and love my Redeemer. And you know, it's one of the grandest experiences that I ever had in my life. I'm so proud of it and so thankful for it now that I wouldn't take anything for it. So it depends on how you look at it. If you look at a thing right, a lot of times, Brother Clyde, it can be the greatest blessing that you ever had. And so then I've learned a whole lot in my lifetime. And I've learned that the main thing is to do God's will. Find out what God's pleasure is and what God's will is. And to do God's will, and everything will be all right. Everything will be all right. Like the song said, everything will be all right. Now I read to you tonight from the book of Malachi. You know, there's a lot of dispute over the book of Malachi in the day that we're living in. And we brought some messages from the book of Malachi concerning some of these disputes. As a matter of fact, we have it on tape to where people can get it and where it's clarified concerning a whole lot of things that's being said in our day by ministers, and clarifies a whole lot of things about disputes that they're having. So tonight, we're not wanting to speak about that, but tonight, I want to speak to you concerning the latter part that we read, where he said, even from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from mine ordinances. You know, it's hard to believe that in the day that we're living in, that people have actually left the ordinances of God. Isn't that right? You would think, well, Brother Pike, in the day that we're living in, while there's no way that people could be away from the ordinances of God, while we're the most religious people in all of the earth, we're bound to be following after Christ. But nevertheless, it is so that in the day that we're living in, though it is one of the most religious hours that we've ever lived in, yet people are farther from the Word of God and the words of truth than they've ever been in all of the days of their life. What a horrible thought, to be distant to God, to be cut off from God, or to find yourself away from God. And you say, away from God, what do you mean away from God? Away from the Word of the living God. When you separate from the Word of God, you have separated from God. Any time that you put distance between you and the Word of God, you have separated from God. I've made this statement a lot of times in preaching. The Bible said in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So then, in this day, people are departing from the faith. And I say again, departing from the faith is not departing. It's not departing from some religious sect. It's not departing from a denomination. It's not getting away from a religious body. That is not departing from the faith. Though there's a lot of religious bodies that would like for you to think that. But that's not departing from the faith. For the Bible doesn't tell us that faith cometh by the hearing of something that a religious body has to offer. It doesn't tell us that we receive faith because we belong to the church. But it tells us that we receive faith by the hearing of the Word of God. And to depart from the faith is to separate yourself from the Word of God. When you depart from God's Word, you have departed from the faith, because there is no faith outside of the hearing of the Word of God. You know, if you could get this down in our heart tonight, to know that there is no faith outside of the Word of God, then we would have really scored a victory. There is no faith outside of the Word of God. It doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what somebody has told you. It doesn't matter the indoctrination that you've had in your lifetime. There is no faith outside of the Word of God. Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word of God. And if you don't have the Word of God, then you don't have faith. So then people in the latter times will depart from the ordinances of God, or they will separate themselves from the Word of God. In separating themselves from the Word of God, they will find that they shall become what Jesus referred to as a faithless generation. So then, to depart from the Word of God is to leave the faith. When we leave the faith, then we find ourselves helpless and find ourselves, as I preached last night, a prisoner of Satan and a prisoner of circumstantial environments of the things of this world. As Satan weaves his web about humanity, he takes them into prison and he uses the glitter and the sparkle of this world and the things of this world to draw them into that trap. Isn't that right? Little by degree, he draws you in. He entices you with the materialistic values of life. He entices you with the tangible side of life. And even though it is God's plan for you to have the natural things of life, it is God's plan for you to have the carnal things of life. Paul said, if I have sown unto you spiritual things, shall I not reap of your carnal? It is God's plan for you to have homes and for you to have automobiles and for you to have the convenience of life. But God never at any time intended for anyone to place their affection on anything that is in this world. Now, a wise man's substance is precious to him, and he doesn't want it abused. He tries to take care of it. But brothers and sisters, any time that any natural thing of this world captivates your attention, catches your interest, you are in trouble with God, and you are sinning against God, and God is on the verge of rejecting you. So then, any time that we find ourselves growing interested or finding an interest in any natural, tangible thing, we know that we should back off. Any time that we find anything that's of carnal interest to us, we should start backing off. For the Bible said, love not this world, neither the things that are in this world. For all that is of this world is the pride of life. It is the lust of the flesh, and the original word there is desire. It is the desire of your human being. For if the love of the things of this world is in your heart, then the love of the Father is not there. You must not love the things of this world. If God gives you houses, if God gives you land, if God gives you properties, if God gives you conveniences, if God gives you materialistic values, you should never at any time get your heart on those things or get your mind on those things. You should never let your desire rest upon those things. You should keep your mind on Jesus. The song said, keep your eyes on Jesus and he will calm the troubled waters of your soul. Isn't that right? What we need to do is keep our minds on Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Glory to God. Keep your minds on Jesus. And so then we need to keep our minds on Jesus. We need to love Jesus with all of our heart. Love Jesus with all of our soul. You know, God is a great God. He is a mighty God, but he is a jealous God. And God tells us that we should love him with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our strength, all of our soul. We should love God after this fashion. So then to love God, that pleases God. And the more we love God, the more God gives us the materialistic values of life. The more I love God, the more God wants to give me things, Brother Ed. If I love God with all of my heart, then God wants to give me everything that he's got. He made the stars for me. He made the moon for me. He made the sun for me. He made the trees for me. He made the birds for me. He made the beautiful ocean for me. He made everything in this world for me. And God wants me to have it, providing I will love God with all of my heart and turn my affection toward the Holy Spirit. But he is a jealous God. He does never at any time want us to get our minds on things. You know, you take a man that really loves his wife. He loves to give her all kinds of beautiful things. It pleases him well if he loves her, to bring her a bouquet of flowers, or to help her get a nice automobile, or to see that she has a beautiful home and nice furniture and whatever he can afford for her. He loves to do that. He loves to give her those beautiful things to see her eyes sparkle and to make her enjoy life. But he gives her those things so that she will admire him, so that she will think upon him, so that he will be her hero, and so that he will be the admiration of her eye. And just the very minute that she gets her mind on the things that he's giving her and her mind on somebody else outside of him, he becomes the jealous husband and he becomes the begrudging husband, and he doesn't want her to have one thing that he's given her. He'd like to take every bit of it back away from her. If you believe that, say amen. That's the way it is, folks. And that's the way the world is today. The more you give the woman, the less she loves you, and the more she goes out with your boyfriend. Somebody say, I love the Lord. You say, I can't believe that. A man told me the other day that his best boyfriend ran off with his wife. They were the best of friends. Such a good friend that after a while, the man took his wife. I know of another case. I was talking to him not too long ago. He said, Brother Pike, I took one of my best friends into my home. This was another case. He said, it wasn't long before I didn't have a wife. My best friend took my wife. Are you listening? So then God is a jealous God. He said, my name is jealous, for I am a jealous God, and thou shalt have no other gods before me. Just one God is all you can have, and that's Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit. To worship God and worship God alone is the only God that you can have. You can't have any other gods. To worship sticks and stones as they do in the foreign places is wrong. To worship in idolatry in the foreign fields of heathenism, that's wrong. And somebody would say, Brother Pike, I'm right with you, and I believe it's wrong. And there's one thing about us here in America, we don't do things like that. But I'm afraid that you here in America do a whole lot worse than those poor paganistic people over yonder in the far-flung corners of the world. Isn't that right? Through their ignorance, they worship sticks and stones. But over here, you worship automobiles and homes and the things of this life. You're caught in the web of the things of this life, and you worship programs, and you worship people, and you worship things, and you are in a web of Satan because of the sparkle and glitter of this great time of prosperity here in America. So then, when we think about these things, we see that America is not only as bad off as those heathen people, but a whole lot worse off than the heathen people. You say, Brother Pike, what makes you think that they are worse off? The Bible said that servant that knew not to do his Lord's will and committed things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. But that servant that knew to do his Lord's will and committed things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with many stripes. And here in America, we know the will of God, and we're still committing things that are wrong. We're still transgressing the word of God. We're still going away from the ordinances of God, and we are going to be punished in a great way, and we're going to receive many stripes. I said last night, this is one reason why the world is sick today. The world is sick today. Everybody is sick today, including the doctor. Even the doctor, the physicians are dying today. You know, the Bible said, physician, heal thyself. They can't even heal themselves. Isn't that right? It's a sad time. I counseled with a medical doctor today. A medical doctor came to me today, and I talked with him for about an hour or so. And he said, all broken up, the tears streaming down his cheeks. He said, tell me how to find God. Tell me how to get loose. He said, from this condition that I'm in, this oppression. And he began to express how he was driven, how that he was oppressed. And he said, tell me how to get loose from this thing. That was the essence of the things he was telling me today. What was wrong with him? He was the doctor. He was the one that was supposed to be helping the people. He's the one that's supposed to be freeing the people. He's the one that people are looking to. He's the world's Superman. But he was looking for help. He was literally crushed. He was looking for a way out. Isn't that right? What is it? Even the medical profession of today, they need help. Like the orthodontics over in Monroe sent word the other day. Tubbama Susie said, I want to counsel with your dad. Said, can I get an appointment? Said, I know that you people have something from God. I know that the usual routine of life, he said, is just to drift along and to exist. He said, but you people are living. He said, you've got life. He said, there's something different about you. And you've got life. And said, I'd love to find out what it's all about. You love Jesus? Hallelujah. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Hallelujah. Men can see. Men are beginning to look. Men are beginning to watch. Even the professional world is beginning to want to find out what's going on. Isn't that right? Something is taking place. Something is taking place. What is it? It's God is beginning to highlight the church. God is beginning to lift us up, as the song says, above the shadows. He's beginning to do something for us. Even from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from mine ordinances. He said, and you've not kept them. You've departed from mine ordinances, and you have not kept them. Even from the days of your father, you've gone away from mine ordinance. Why is it that you have not kept mine ordinances? Why is it, brother, sister, that we have transgressed the word of God? You know the thing that Jesus told the Jews when he came? He said, you have kept the tradition of the elders. Well do you keep the tradition of the elders. He said, but you transgressed the word of God. Why do you do this, Jesus said. Now again, we would say, Brother Pike, there's one thing about us here in America. We never do a thing like that. But I say again that we are worse than the Jews. We keep all kind of doctrines and man-made ideas and theology, and we listen to the theologians, and we accept everything that doctrines offer to us and everything that denominational powers offer us, and we feed on all of the garbage of the world, but we fail to hear God's word. We do it with a regularity. We do it with a regularity. You know, I was thinking today, there is a denominational teaching that in the world today, when they speak of God, they don't understand God. Numbers of them don't understand God. And when they talk about God, they don't know how to explain God. So then they just put it together the best that they can to get a following. And they build a worldly enterprise, and they build up a great treasure, and they take in millions of dollars, and they blind millions of people. Why is it that they don't understand? Because God did not send them. The Bible said they ran, but I never sent them. They went, I never commissioned them to go. I didn't send them, saith the Lord. If I had sent them, they would have spoke my word. For he that God sendeth will speak God's word. And if they had stood within my counsel, they would have caused the people to have turned from their sins. They're not turning the people away from worldliness. They're not turning the people away from sin. They're not turning the people away from the evils of this world, because God did not send them. If they had stood in God's counsel, he said they would have caused the people to turn from their wicked ways. But they're not causing the people to turn from their wicked ways. They're infiltrating the houses of God with rock and roll. And they're bringing the things into God's house that is an abomination in the sight of God. And the Bible said, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, the place it ought not, then shall the end come. Brother, sister, you can take abomination into any place. You can do the abominable things in the world. You can do the abominable things in your own home. But when you take them into God's house, then there is trouble. Then there is problems. When you take the abomination that maketh desolate into God's house. You know, Daniel said there was an abomination. Something that is an abomination to God. He said it makes the house of God desolate of God's spirit. It drives the spirit of God out. It is an abomination that makes the house of God desolate of the spirit of God. And we're moving into the hour when the abomination of desolation in the spiritual sense is moving into the house of God. I know that it's coming into the house of Israel in its day. And I know it's not far away. But in the spiritual sense, it's moving into the house of God. And they're turning the house of God into a rock and roll party. They're turning the sacred place of God into a nightmare. They're turning it into a place of merchandise to sell and to buy and to frolic in. But God said, this is wrong. Shall not my house be called the house of prayer of all nations? Whereas God said, you've made it a den of thieves. Why have you done this thing, God said? Jesus planted a whip. Stepped there and drove them out with the whip. As he planted the whip, because he was disturbed, he was upset. Hallelujah. I'm glad that God is in my heart tonight. I'm glad that God is directing me tonight. I'm glad that I can see tonight. I have eyes to see. I have ears to hear tonight. I'm glad that I can see. I'm glad that I can hear tonight and know the wonderful things that God is saying to me and what the Spirit is showing me tonight. Whereas the Bible said, Jesus speaking, always I do that which I see the Father do. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might be able to comprehend the heights, the depths, and the width of these things that God has commanded us. Even from the days of your fathers, you have left mine ordinances. You have gone away from mine ordinances. He said, you have not kept them. Return unto me, the Lord said. Return unto me. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. Walk contrary to me, I will walk contrary unto you. But return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord. If my people who are called by my name, if they would humble themselves, if they would seek my face, I will hear from heaven. I will hear from heaven, and I will heal their lands. I will hear from heaven, and I will heal their lands. Why is it that the world is sick tonight? Why is it that the world is sick tonight? They're sick. The doctors are sick. The dentists are sick. The medical profession is sick. Everybody is sick. Everybody needs help tonight. And everybody is searching and seeking. Where is the answer? Where is the answer? Like the song we wrote, Christ is the answer. Christ is the answer. He's the only answer. Christ within you, the hope of glory. Greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. Last night as I preached the message, greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is within you than the cancer that is in your body. Greater is he that is within you than the insanity that's pressing and oppressing your mind. Greater is he that is within you than the poverty that's pressing upon you to bring you down into the dust of despair. Greater is he that is within you than that thing that's trying to steal your soul, that Lucifer, that thing that's in the world, that evil power that's in the world. Greater is he that is within you, because Christ is within you. And Lucifer being in the world is subject to the powers of the Almighty God. For the Bible said, God ruleth in the affairs of mankind. God has his way in the affairs of mankind. God rules according to his will. God looked down to the days of Nebuchadnezzar, and he said back there in the days of Daniel, when he done these things, he said that this is to let you know that God rules in the affairs of mankind. Hallelujah. When God says we're going to have a certain president, you can vote any way you want to. But when you get through voting, God puts in who he wants to. Hallelujah. When God says there's going to be a certain thing take place, the Bible said, can evil come to a city? And I have not sent it, saith the Lord. I create the good. I created the evil. I have my way in both. I work all things after the counsel of my own will. He said, I kill. I make alive. I wound. I bind up. I am God. But in the world today, they've gone away from God's ordinances, and they don't worship God anymore. Isn't that right? You say, Brother Pike, what are you trying to tell me? There's a teaching in the world today. This is some of the teachings. One teaching teaches that there's three gods, and that these gods are co-equal. Three gods, and they're co-equal. Why do they teach that? Because God did not send them. Because they do not know. Because their ordination is of mankind. Their ordination is not of God. Their oversight is not of God. But the Bible said, you take the oversight over the flock of God, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which God hath purchased with his blood. Three gods co-equal. How is it then that they teach such thing when the word of God condemns it? It's because they've gone away from the ordinances of God. They do not understand. How can they say that there's three gods that are co-equal when the Bible tells us Jesus himself, speaking in the Spirit, said, I created the heavens by myself. I stretched out the heavens alone. He said, when I did it, there was no one to help me. He said, who is my equal? I know not of any. How can you say co-equal when the Bible denies it, when God denies it, when the great God of heaven stood and said, I am God alone. Don't tell me there's another God. Don't bring another God and say he's equal to me. I am God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, with all of thy mind. You love Jesus? I remember preaching in a denominational movement, a far one, over in the state of Michigan. There in a big theater building. We had a great meeting. The sick was healed. The pastor's wife was healed. She was so thrilled. God was moving. The pastor come to me and said, Brother Pike, said, I'm so glad you come and preach for us. Said, ever since I've heard of this co-equal thing, he said, I've been confused. Said, when I go to pray, I don't even know who to pray to. I don't know which one of the gods I should pray to. And said, it's had me confused. But, oh, brother, let me tell you something. Jesus is God tonight. Jesus is God tonight. Jesus is God tonight. Do you believe that he's our God tonight? Hallelujah. You know, in the heathen countries, they've got a God and they've got a name for that God. Isn't that right? Brother, over here, we've got a God and we've got a name for our God. Hallelujah. Somebody say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me you just believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Well, there is people that believe not in threeness, but in two-ness. They believe in two-ness. They believe there's a Father, they believe there's a Son, but they can't figure out where the Holy Ghost come from. And so they have a two-ness. But you know, again, I say, if God had sent them, they would have understood. But they ran. But God did not send them. They went, but God did not commission them. They taught, but God wasn't in it. They run as one that beateth the air, teaching two gods, when the Bible said there is but one God. And so then they say there is two gods. But Jesus said, where is there another God? I know not of any besides me. I am God. He said, and I am God alone, and besides me there is no God. There is no God, just one, just me. I am God. I am God alone. And besides me there is no God. He said, I know not of any. I don't know of any either. I don't know of any. Do you know of any more? If you know of any more, I'd love to hear about him. He said, I don't know of any. I don't know of any either. I just know of that one. I just know of that one. And when I get in trouble, I call on that one. I go to God and I pray and I ask God to help me and I ask God to lead me. Isn't that right? I ask God to lead me. Therefore, it is obvious that these people were not sent of God. What have they done? They have gone away from the ordinances of God. They've left the word of God. They preached heresy. They preached what they thought. They preached the tradition of the elders. They've tried to hold together some worldly enterprise that's brought them great amounts of money and prestige. But beloved, someday God said, I will meet you face to face. You think that I'm altogether such a one as you are, but someday I will meet you face to face, and I will be as one that has been robbed of her cubs. And I will meet you face to face in that day as a bear that has been robbed of her cubs. And so then, when you hear people preaching about two gods, you know that they run as one that beateth the air. Then you have people that say, there is no such thing as one God. One God, two God, three gods, and they take a different route altogether. And they come up with something else. And they deny, some deny the Father, some deny the Son, some deny the Holy Ghost. One will deny one will deny another, and one will deny another. So then there are people also that will stand up and say, there is but one God. That's good preaching. There is but one God. Forget about the Father. Forget about the Holy Ghost. There is but one God. That is Jesus. But if that be so, if there is nothing but Jesus, then the question arises again in the scriptures. The Bible said he hath made in himself twain. How then did he get to be two if there's only one? How is it that he made in himself twain, both Lord and Christ, if there is but one? So when people teach there's nothing but Jesus and there is no Father, and you don't have to pray to the Father, then something is wrong with these people. God did not send them, but they've gone away from the ordinances of God. How is it the Bible said he made in himself twain, both Lord and Christ? If he made in himself twain, both Lord and Christ, that must mean that there is more than one. That must mean that there's more than one somewhere. Isn't that right? And how is it that they teach that there is two, when the Bible said there is three that bear record in heaven? How is it that three bear record in heaven if there is only two? Why does the Bible then say that three bear record in heaven? So then, if he made in himself twain, we understand why the Bible said that there's three that bear record in heaven. If he made in himself both Lord and Christ, then we understand why that there is more than one involved. We understand why that Paul said, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. We understand why the writer used the terms that I pray to the Father, and I have respect for his Son as well as the Father, through all of the teachings of Paul and the other great writers. Why that they give special respect to the Son and special respect to the Father and special respect to the Holy Ghost. Why do they do this? Because there is a reason for it, my beloved friend. But from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from mine ordinances, and you've taught heresy. You've taught everything but the Word of God. They're teaching oneness, they're teaching two-ness, they're teaching threeness, but what they need to teach is godliness. How do you believe that? They need to forget about oneness and two-ness and threeness, and they need to start teaching godliness. That's what they need to teach. They need to teach godliness. That's what Paul preached, was godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. What people want to hear about is godliness. They don't care about Trinity, and they don't care about oneness, and they don't care about two-ness. They want to know about godliness, and that's what God wants them to know. This is what we should be doing, is preaching about godliness. How many of you got just a few more minutes to listen? Where is the problem? They have gone away from the ordinances of God. You've not kept my ordinances, saith the Lord. From the days of your father, you've gone away from. Return unto me, saith the Lord. Return unto me, saith the Lord. Return unto me. Who is he? Who is he that you should return to him? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And today the Word is still God. And the Word came forth and put on flesh, didn't it? The Word came forth and put on flesh. And if the Word was in the beginning and then it come forth and put on flesh, we got two again. Because if there was a Word to begin with and a flesh later, that makes two again. Isn't that right? If there was a Word before the flesh came and then came the flesh and both of them joined arms together, as we say, or linked up together, that makes two again. So then we see that they have misconstrued the teachings of God. It is a true fact that there is a Heavenly Father. There is a Heavenly Father, not a make-believe. There is a real, genuine Heavenly Father. Though you cannot see him with your eye, no man has ever seen him, and no man will ever see him, because the Bible said he is the great light unto which no man can approach, whom no man has seen nor can see. And Jesus Christ alone, dwelling in that light, hath immortality, and the only way that we can approach unto that light is through Jesus Christ. So the great Heavenly Father is the great light. He hath never been seen. He never can be seen. He is such a great, mighty personality that Revelation tells us after the millennium that when the great Ancient of Days comes, when the great light comes, that heaven shall pass away and earth shall pass away. My word shall not pass away. Everyone that's been made into the Word, body will continue to live. Everyone that's bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh shall continue to live. Heaven shall pass away. Earth shall pass away. When the great light comes after the millennium, all of the earth passed away. All of the heaven passed away. There was found no place for the ocean, no place for the seas. Everything passed away. The great light, unto whom no man can approach. The mountains cannot approach unto him. The earth cannot approach unto him. People cannot approach unto him. No one can approach unto him. Jesus Christ alone is heir to the glory of God. And the only way that we can have anything is through our Lord Jesus Christ. The only one that was saved in the days of Noah was Noah's family, and that was because Noah found favor in the eyes of God. It didn't say that Noah's family found favor in the eyes of God, did it? It said Noah found favor in the eyes of God. So then it's because Jesus found favor in the eyes of God that Brother Pike's going to be saved. It's because Jesus found favor in the eyes of God that Brother Ed's going to be saved. It's because Jesus found favor in the eyes of God that you and I are going to be saved. For we are sanctified by the faith which is in him. Isn't that right? And so then the great light, there is a heavenly Father. There is a heavenly Father. He's the great Spirit. When I pray, who do I pray to? I pray to the heavenly Father. Who did Jesus pray to? He prayed to the heavenly Father. God is a spirit. Jesus was not praying to himself. You don't go around praying to yourself. You pray to God. You pray to the Holy Spirit. God is the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, then we have favor with God. We walk in the great Spirit. We pray to the great Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that one that we cannot see, our precious, wonderful Heavenly Father that has begotten us, that great Spirit of God that came forth when there was nothing but darkness and everything was void and darkness was upon the face of the deep. When that great Holy Spirit, the great wooing power of God began to come on the earth. When that great Spirit began to come and that great wooing began to come. And the little flowers lifted up their head and the little birds began to sing. And out of the ground came these wonderful, glorious things. All because the Holy Spirit wooed the earth. You love Jesus? So there is a Heavenly Father. Is there a Heavenly Father? There is a Heavenly Father. Now then, is there a Son of God? Most assuredly there is a Son of God. For the Bible said, a Son shall be born, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Aha, somebody said, that proves he's the Everlasting Father. It didn't say he would be called the Everlasting Father. It said his name would. Therefore, the Son of God came. Here comes the beautiful name of Jesus. Here comes his lovely name. Here comes that lovely name of Jesus again. Here comes a son. A son was born. Hallelujah. Somebody said, God was born. Blessed Mary, Mother of God, what a lie. What a lie. Blessed Mary, Mother of God, what a lie. I told the priest the other day, me and him was talking. He's talking about that Blessed Mary, Mother of God. Where do you get that God ever had a mother? Wow, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard of. He said, you're right. You're right. I said, you know God ain't never had no mother. God is the one that created all mothers. Well, we need to worship Mary instead of God if she's the one that begot God. That's crazy. You love Jesus? Amen. Blessed Mary, Mother of God. Mary was blessed. I agree to that. Because she was the mother of the Son of God. Is that right? She was the mother of the Son of God. You can't deny it. But not the mother of God. For the Bible said God is the Spirit. That same Son of God that stood preaching even denied that she was his mother so far as the sacred event. For when she came to him and he was under the anointing, they said, your mother wants to see you. Said, who's my mother? Your brothers wants to see you. Said, who is my brothers? These that do the will of my Father in heaven. This is my mother. The church. The church. Isn't that right? The church. See? So then when you say Jesus, when you say Jesus, when you say Jesus, you are saying the Son of God. The Son of God that was made of a woman. He was made under the law. Born of a woman. The Bible said he was. Jesus. Blessed Mary, sure, from here all nations shall call me blessed. Mary said that. All nations shall call me blessed. I call her blessed because she's blessed. Anybody that could be the mother of the Son of God is blessed, great and mighty. But beloved friend, let me tell you something. That same Son of God made the statement when they said it is a spirit or it is God. He said, fill of me. fill of me. I remember in the book of John, the 24th chapter, it said, God is a spirit. God is a spirit. God is a spirit. But when they run and reached out for Jesus, he said, fill of me. They said, it's a spirit. Fill of me. Jesus said, I'm the Son of God. A spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. I've got flesh and bones. My heavenly Father is a spirit. In the beginning was the Spirit. It became the Word. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld it as the glory of the only begotten, full of grace and full of truth. My Father is a spirit. He tabernacles within me. He doeth the works. I'm not come of myself. He has sent me. The works that I do not of myself, but the heavenly Father that dwelleth within me, he doeth the works. It is not I, fill of me, for I have flesh and bones, because I am the Son of God. I am made as the Son of Man. I am made like unto my brethren in all things, fill of me, fill of me. So then, that was Jesus, flesh and bones. What is it? They have gone away from my ordinances, and they have not kept them. And the god of this world hath blinded them, and the lust and greed for position and money had blinded them, and they've forsaken the ordinances of the living God. And so then he said, fill of me. I am flesh and bones. Is there a Son of God? There is a Son of God. Is there a Father? My Father hath not flesh and bones as you see me have, Jesus said. I am the Son of God. My Father hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. A spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. And my Father is a spirit. God is the great light. You cannot approach unto that light. You can approach unto me because I'm flesh and bones. But you cannot approach unto that great light, because that great light is different altogether. You cannot approach unto it. But you can approach unto me as flesh and bones. And the reproaches of them that reproached the great Holy Spirit fell upon me. It fell upon me. Them that reproached the great Holy Spirit, that reproach fell upon me. I caught it to keep it from going to the Holy Spirit, that you might not be cut off. Now, is there a Son of God? There certainly is. So there must be two somewhere. There must be two. That's the reason he said he made in himself twain. There must be two. And so then when we think about the great Holy Spirit, is there then no other? Is there then no other? Is there no Holy Spirit? Is there no Holy Spirit at all? Is it a true fact that there is no Holy Spirit? Is there no Holy Ghost? Is there no Holy Ghost at all? Most assuredly there is a Holy Ghost. Then what is the Holy Ghost? If there is a Holy Ghost, then what is the Holy Ghost? If the Father is one and the Son is another, then what is the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is nothing less than the Spirit of the Son and the Father united together. Are you listening? The third part of that is the Spirit of the Son and the Heavenly Father, the Great Spirit, united together. That's what made the third part of it, was when they united together. When the great Spirit of God took the Spirit of Christ and became interwoven in that God in his entirety came down to the Spirit of Christ, not by measure, but in his fullness. Thus the Spirit of Christ Jesus became the great Holy Spirit. It became the Holy Ghost. That's why that today men translate the Holy Spirit as the Holy Ghost. It was the Holy Spirit. But now the translation of the King James Version is the Holy Ghost. What is the difference? The difference is that a human being has a spirit. And that spirit, when it departs from the body, is called a ghost. The difference is that a departed spirit from a human form, it has taken on a personification. It has an exacting. You can exact it. That is to say, it has taken a conformity. It has a personification. It is a certain thing. It is the spirit of a certain image That is, it is a spirit of a human being, which is a ghost. Therefore, if a thing becomes personified, it is a ghost. Before that is the Holy Spirit. God had no personification. He had never been personified in Jesus. There was no exacting of God in your mind. There was no comprehending God. For God, who filled all of eternity, you could not comprehend God. But when God walked in Jesus, personified himself in Jesus, then when the mold of the Son of God was open at Calvary, out stepped a ghost, a personification of God, which is called the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ Jesus. Now, you know, I've said this a number of times. You can take metal, dig it out of the earth. You can melt it down. As long as it's in the earth, before it starts forming, it's nothing but deposits. It's nothing but elements. But you take it, make a mold, put it in the furnace, melt it down, pour it into a mold. Whatever the mold is, when you get through with the mold, just as soon as you finish with the mold, set the mold up somewhere, let it harden, let it form. Then when it is thoroughly cured out, open the mold. The Bible says that God poured himself into Christ without measure, hung the mold up at Calvary, let the mold hang there until it was cured. Jesus said, "It is finished." He said, "Open the mold," and they rent the veil, and out stepped the personification of God. Why was that? Because human beings had comprehended God. Oh, my brother, never had God been comprehended in all of eternity, never. But now came the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ. What do you mean, the revelation of Jesus Christ? Now comes the revealing of a personified God. God had walked the earth in a human body, and everybody had looked at that human body, and they said, "That's God. That's God. I comprehend God. I understand God. I see what God's like. God's good. God's going about doing good, healing all that was oppressed of the devil. I see God. I comprehend God." God said, "Now that you know me, I'm going to step out of this mold. And though I'm going to be invisible and go away so the flesh won't get no glory, yet you know me." Oh, hallelujah. Do I know him? The Bible said, "In the last days, they that know their God shall do mighty exploits." Do I know him? There, the revealing of Jesus Christ, the revelation of God. Out of the mold stepped the unification of Christ and God. Out of the mold stepped the great Holy Spirit, that which had been comprehended. Out of the mold stepped a God that could be exacted or comprehended or understood. Out of the mold stepped a God that could be worshipped because we know him as Jesus Christ. "I have manifested my Father's name. I have come in my Father's name. I have presented my Father to you. I have kept them in your name, Father. I have made your name known to them. I have kept all of them in your name. I've not lost a one of them except the son of perdition. I've kept them in your name. And oh, Father, now I come to thee. Now I come to thee. I come in my Father's name, and you would not receive me. If I'd have come in another, you would have received me." And God said, "Because you've manifested my name, son, I'm going to give you a name that nobody don't know but you, and to whom you will reveal it. I'm going to give you a name that nobody don't know except you, and to whom you will reveal it." And so then God today, the great invisible God, is today none other than the Spirit of Jesus the Christ. He is a personified God today. He is a God that can be comprehended. He is a God that can be understood. He is a God that can be worshipped. He is a God that is one with his heavenly Father. Father, make these one as we're one. So then, if he's not one, and if he's not two, and if he is not three, for heaven's sake, Brother Pike, what then is he? He is according to what the ordinances has declared him. These three are one. He is a three in one. God is three that has become one. Is a man one or is a man three? You say a man is but one, Brother Pike. If a man is but one, then why is it when they lay him in the casket that he has quit functioning? If a man is but one, why is it he quits walking and talking when death comes around? You see, there was some other part of him. He's more than one. He's made in the image of God. He's more than one. You know why they put him in a coffin? Because there's a part of him missing. There's a part of him missing. One part of him is missing. That's what it is. See, there's more to him than just one. Is that right? You say, where do you get that? And the Bible said when Rachel travailed, her soul departed from her and she died. And Paul said, I seek to present you unto God, blameless body, soul, and spirit. And the Bible said the word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, even to the dividing asunder of the soul from the spirit, the marrow from the bone, the soul from the spirit. So then there is the spirit, and there is the soul, and there is the body. For the word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, and can divide the soul from the spirit. So that is two. And then the spirit leaves the body. And the Bible said when the spirit departs the body, at death the spirit goes back to God who gave it, and the body is dead without the spirit. So then there is three. But these three are one. These three are one. Therefore, what should I do? What should I do? I should pray to my Heavenly Father. I should pray to my Heavenly Father. Who is the Heavenly Father? The eternal spirit. How then should I worship God in spirit? Paul said, I would speak unto you as spirituals. I should worship in spirit. I should be spiritual. I should pray unto the spirit. How should I then approach the spirit? In the name of the Son of God. In the name, no man can come to the great light of the spirit but by the name. But by the name. So then, if I get salvation, I have to go through the name. If I get healing, I have to go through the name. If I have any kind of deliverance, I have to go through the name. It shall come to pass that whosoever called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The writer said, be baptized, wash away your sins, Paul, calling upon the name of the Lord. It's obvious he didn't just mean Lord, Lord, because he said not everyone that saith Lord, Lord shall be saved. So that isn't what he meant. But be baptized, wash away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. You say, what are you talking about, Brother Pike? I am speaking of the ordinances of Christ Jesus the Lord. From the days of your father, you've gone away from them. From the days of your father, you've gone away from them. So God is a spirit. God is a spirit. We worship God in spirit. We worship God in spirit. I worship God in spirit. I worship God in truth. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord. I will return unto you, if you will return unto me. If you will return unto me, I will return unto you. If you walk contrary to me, I will walk contrary to you. Draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh unto you. I want you to stand with me. We'd like to elaborate some more on this. So there is a Heavenly Father. And who is He? The Holy Spirit. Are we actually going to see three people sitting upon three thrones when we get to heaven? Absolutely not. What will we see? We will see Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. And we will see those two as the two olive trees to represent the same thing that they represented as they stood on the Mount of Transfiguration. The law and the prophets. The transfiguration to show Moses the dead saints or the resurrected saints. Jesus to show the living saints. And Elijah to show the raptured saints. And those three represent the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. For God said concerning Moses, I will make you God unto the people. I will make you God unto the people. So then Moses will show the Father in that day. Elijah will show the Holy Ghost so far as a human person in that day. Moses the body, in that God is a spirit, but Jesus Christ alone will be God. Jesus Christ alone will be God. Why? Because the great eternal Father, the Holy Spirit, tabernacled in one body. On the Mount of Transfiguration, when these two bodies appeared, Peter said, "Let us make three tabernacles." God said, "My Son's tabernacle is the only one I am pleased to dwell in. This is my Son. This is the tabernacle." John said, "Behold, the tabernacle of the great Holy Spirit is among men." Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. Jesus was that tabernacle. And Peter referred to you and I as being a tabernacle for God as long as we're in this tabernacle. But if this one be dissolved, we have another one eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. Jesus Christ, the tabernacle of God, was in the earth. He tabernacled among men. God in his fullness tabernacled among men. Tonight, God is still tabernacling among men. For we are the tabernacle of God. We're the members of that body tonight. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Though whereas we, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, member by member and measure by measure, yet Jesus, the head of the church, without measure, the fullness of the great Holy Spirit, God, the fullness of God, he walked the earth as the tabernacle of the great Holy Spirit. God, the personified one. In heaven, who will we see? You cannot see God. You cannot see God. God is the great light. You will never see God. You will never see God. He is the great light. You will see Jesus that dwells in the midst of that light, and that light dwells within him. He is the express, which means the given image of God. He is the only image of God. And the Bible says, no man can see God. Therefore, if you are a human being, you will never see God. If you are a son of God, then you are not a man, you are a God. And if you are a God, the Bible said ye are gods. And if ye are a God, you will be able to see God. The way that you will see God is through the enlightenment of your understanding, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened to comprehend the height, the depths, the width, and the length by the mind of the Son of God. The mind of the Son of God comprehended God. Thus, through the comprehension and the transformation of mind as he grew in wisdom and stature, God in his fullness filled that human body, and that human body was changed into the fullness of God. And according to your measure, as you comprehend the mind of God, you will be changed into the God body, into the God membership, according to the mind of Christ that you allow to live within you. And you will have a place in that day as kings and priests, some over 5 cities, some over 10 cities. Kings and priests we are unto God, for he is the King of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. And there will be kings in that day like the 24 kings that was around the thrones that threw their crowns down at his feet. 12 kings, he said concerning the 12 apostles, ye shall be 12 kings ruling on 12 thrones beside me when I judge the 12 tribes of Israel. Tonight there may be kings and lords standing in your midst tonight. And someday they will do tribute to the Lord of lords and the King of kings and rule throughout the great earth and the great world. A lot of things that we would like to say about this Jesus and about his greatness and about his following. How wonderful, how marvelous is his following. How glorious is his wonderful body. How magnificent is his wonderful form that's in the earth today, and the promises that God has given concerning this great wonderful body called the church, which is the bride. How beautifully it shall be arrayed in its positioned places in the world to come. So then tonight we're grateful to be here, to be able to speak in this meeting here in Atlanta, Georgia. Has such a great outstanding significance. And we're thankful to be here tonight. It is our pleasure and our wholehearted desire to be no other place than here in Atlanta, Georgia tonight, preaching the wonderful, wonderful things of God. You know, salvation is simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. But the mystery of God, the Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness. Paul said, I am a steward of those mysteries. Great is the mystery of godliness, the mystery of the kingdom, the mystery of iniquity. Great is the great spiritual mysteries. But the Bible said, and all of the mysteries shall be finished at the sounding of the last trump. Or the original rendering, the secret shall be finished. He that abideth in the shadow of the Almighty shall dwell in the secret place of the Most High. To get into the types and shadows is to get into the secret place and understand the mystery. Tonight, I want you to think on that. Jesus is the given image of God. There is no other human person of God. The Bible said he is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That is, so far as a body is concerned, there is no other human body, not of God. God hath but one body. One body. That's Jesus. God, the great Holy Spirit, the Heavenly Father, rules heaven and earth through that body, through that spilt blood. Everything that comes to God must come to him through that name and through that magnificent body. And so then tonight, if you've not made that divine commitment unto God, Paul said, I'm persuaded that God will keep that or can keep that which I've committed to him against the great day. If you've not made the commitment unto God, then let me encourage you to make the commitment unto God so that he can keep it against the great day that is soon to come. Because that great day is fast approaching. The great day is fast approaching. This Atlanta meeting has to do with that great day. Now, if you're spiritual, you can see. But if you're not spiritual, you cannot understand. No man can receive anything except it be given him of God. All right, let's worship the Lord together as we sing a little chorus. You know, I drink this water. And I think about it so often. Sometimes I don't preach as hard now as I used to preach. I used to preach so hard until my shirt was wet, my coat was wet, my pants were soaked, my socks were soaked. Water, it would be in my shoes. And I've often thought as I would go get a drink of water, as I would turn up the water, I've often thought, God, how I would hate to miss heaven. How I would hate to miss heaven. And I thought about the rich man that lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torment by the flames, seeing Lazarus, and he begged for just a little water. And I thought how wonderful it is to drink just a little glass of water. And it's so wonderful, so wonderful. And as we preach across the nation in the different parts of the world, especially places like South America where it's hot, you get a glass of water when you get so thirsty that it looks like your tongue will cleave into the roof of your mouth. And then you think, oh God, how wonderful it is. How wonderful it is just to be able to get a drink of water. You know, if heaven didn't afford anything except plenty of water to drink, it would be worth it all. It would be worth it all. All right, let's sing together. When he reached down his hand for me, oh, when he reached all the way down for me, I was lost and undone. without God or His Son. When He reached down His hand for me. Can you sing it with me now? When my Savior reached down for me. Oh, when He reached way down for me, I was lost and undone without God or His Son. When He reached down His hand for Can you love Jesus tonight? Lift your hands up and love Him. Oh, hallelujah. Can you love Him tonight? Oh, I feel the presence of God here tonight. Hallelujah. Can you love Jesus tonight? Can you tell Jesus that you love Him? Greater is He that is in you tonight than he that is in the world. Can you love Jesus tonight? Don't you appreciate Jesus tonight? I have engraven Thee in the palms of my hands that I might not forget Thee. Hallelujah. Can you love Him tonight? Can you love Him tonight? Can you tell Him how much you love Him tonight? Hallelujah. Glory to the wonderful name of Jesus. I want you to gather around here tonight. Step out tonight and gather around here for just a few minutes. Will you do that? Come on, gather around here for just a few minutes tonight. I want to worship God for just a few minutes here tonight. And I want to pray for you tonight. I believe God will do something for you tonight. Can you worship the Lord? Can you worship the Lord?
May sweep over the wild storm.
Let's love Jesus tonight. Let's love Jesus tonight. If you love Jesus tonight, lift your hands up and praise Him. Let's love Jesus tonight. Can you step down here tonight? Can you step down here tonight? Can you step down here tonight? Hallelujah. I feel His presence, don't you? Glory to God. Step down here tonight and give Jesus a chance. If you've never made a commitment to God, step down here tonight. While the great Spirit of the living God is moving here tonight, while the waters of trouble, while I feel the anointing, don't wait. Come down here tonight and let God do something for you. Hallelujah. I feel the anointing breaking the yoke tonight. Glory to God. Can you come down here tonight? Can you come down here tonight? Can you come down here tonight? Will you let God bless you tonight? Will you come down here tonight and let God bless you tonight? If you've never made a commitment to God, if you've never asked God to save you, if you've never asked God to forgive you, if you've never made a commitment to God, friend, come down here tonight. Stand down here tonight. Lift your hands up to God. The Bible said, I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Can you worship God tonight? Can you worship God tonight? Can you love the Lord tonight? Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible said, make a loud noise unto the Lord. Make a loud noise unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you clap your hands? The Bible said, clap your hands, all ye people. Clap your hands, all ye people. Clap your hands, all ye people. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Make a fuss over Jesus tonight. Make a fuss over Jesus tonight. He's the greatest thing that ever happened to humanity. He's the greatest thing that ever happened to humanity. Glory to God tonight. Don't you love Him? Don't you love Him tonight? Don't you love Him tonight? Hallelujah. Don't you love Him tonight? If you love Him, tell Him tonight. Hallelujah. I want you to lift up your hands and close your eyes tonight.
Shine on.
Hallelujah.
Around me.
Hallelujah.
By day and by night.
Praise God. Can you just lift your hands up? Hallelujah. As we pray tonight, can you do that? Can you do that? Do you need a touch in your body tonight? Do you need a touch in your body tonight? We promise we would pray. We promise we would pray. We've been getting some calls in.
That dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and
all right.
By night. His name.
We're going to pray for the little one tonight. He was in the wreck just a little bit ago, and he developed a nosebleed from it. It has stopped. But they want us to pray for him. Brother Walden, would you come and pray with us, please? Let's pray tonight together. If you love Jesus tonight, let's pray together. Hallelujah. Let's pray for this little one. He was in the wreck tonight with him. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus,
as we pray tonight.
Hallelujah.
This now. Holy,
do not pass me by.
Feel your blessing, Lord. I feel your deliverance.
Oh, Savior, blessed Savior.
Hallelujah. Praise God. I feel Jesus, don't you? I feel Jesus. If you want us to lay hands on you, step up here close by, and we'll lay hands on you tonight and pray for you. You know, the Bible says, when you pray, believe. Isn't that right? When you pray, it tells us to believe. Isn't that right? And I want to say again, I appreciate Brother Paul and Sister Jones here so much coming to be with us. I think it's so wonderful. They come out with us. And Brother Paul hasn't missed a night of this meeting. And I believe the Holy Ghost has been on him a number of nights. And I believe he loves Jesus. Praise God. I wonder,
to hear your
little ones, would you step over just a little and let the brother and sister come up
he
here?
Is
would you come up a little closer, sister?
By this moment,
Brother Walton, I want you to pray for them. Let's pray for them tonight and ask God
just
to do something for them. Would you do that? Let's
and
pray.
Touch the Lord.
Hallelujah.
As he goes by, reach out and touch the Lord. He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Just reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Will find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry.
Praise God. I feel that. I really feel
by this moment.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lift your hands up and love Jesus, can you? Hallelujah. Let's just love Jesus tonight. Let's love Jesus tonight. While Brother Walden's up here, if you'll just lift your hands up toward us.
Just
lift your hands up toward us. Instead of laying hands on you, if you'll just lift your hands up toward us tonight. I'm going to ask him to pray. God's really blessed him in his ministry and healing. I'm going to ask him to pray with us tonight and ask God to do something special for you. I want you to believe tonight. As we pray tonight, I want you to believe. Hallelujah. Let's pray together tonight. Father of heaven, in the wonderful name of the Son of God, I ask you to heal tonight, Father. I ask you to stretch out your healing hand tonight as we pray here tonight. Oh God, as we pray together, I want you to touch tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. You feel the power of God tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right. Since Jesus came and saved my soul, everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right. Since Jesus came and saved my soul, everything's gonna be all right. Oh, let us praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him at the noontime. Praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Praise Him when the sun goes down. Oh, sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Heaven's come down. Oh, heaven's come down. And sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Heaven's come down on me. Oh, let us love Him. Love Him. Love Him in the morning. Love Him at the noontime. Love of Him. Oh, love Him. Love Him when the sun goes down. Oh, let us praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him at the noontime. Praise Him. I want to praise Him. Praise Him when the sun goes down. Well, I looked over Jordan, and what did I see coming to carry me home? Hallelujah. A band of angels coming after me, coming to carry me home. Swing low, oh, sweet chariot. Is coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends that I'm coming to, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home.